We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Now going, hey, everybody, welcome to the Fantasy RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast. Sorry, we had a little hiccup at the start there. Nothing like a last week. We're trying to figure out how to work the system here. So anyway, everybody, welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Jensen, joined as always on Sunday nights by Jeff Erickson. Last podcast of the season. We're just going to kind of wrap up our season, talk about the playoffs a little bit, talk a little bit about kind of thinking about starting to prep for 22, some lessons from this season, how we feel about stuff. But Jeff, I figured it'd be fun to jump on with you one more Sunday night. How are you?
I'm good. I suck as a fantasy baseball player in the NFBC format, but I'm good. I life is good, generally speaking. I'll go that way.
Grand scheme, that's a pretty good thing.
Yeah, our Reds, our A's, they soiled the bed this weekend. Or they didn't get to this weekend, I should say.
Yeah.
But so it goes.
Yeah, it was rough. I'm afraid it's going to be a rough A's offseason too. Stadium and moves, and I wouldn't doubt if they decided to trade Olsen or Chapman, something like that. Like I don't know. Steve Fisher, the owner of the team, is in a weird place where it seems like he's trying to prove points and stuff, and it's just never something you want from your owner.
Right. Well, and the front office too. I mean, it's pretty bad. Everybody but Billy. Billy Bean's been noticeably quiet during all of this.
I've heard some stuff that he's really pissed about how the Marcus Semien thing went down.
Yep.
And there's some rumors that he might be looking for other jobs just because he wants to have a chance to play with somebody and win. And I don't think that window is going to be open very long in Oakland at the moment.
Doesn't he have an ownership share though?
He does, and like he has an ownership share of the soccer team locally or something too, and then some other stuff. But I don't know. I imagine if he wanted to go somewhere, he could figure out a way to kind of call his shot and work it out money wise.
It's kind of like Theo with the Cubs, right?
Yeah.
You know, rats jumping off a ship and et cetera, et cetera. But you know, let's start with Chapman though. What the heck? What's going on with him? What happened to him this year?
I don't know. Like in the first month or so, I was like, you know, maybe it's still the hip. He's, you know, figuring out the surgery. And obviously last season ended with the injury, but he's like a different player right now. I mean, and everybody's like, oh, it wasn't that bad. I was like, it was. He hit .210. His OBP was .314. He had 27 homers, but the strikeout rate's scary. I mean, you figure last year was maybe just an aberration with the injury, but he 32.5% strikeout rate this year. And he was, you know, in 2019, we're talking about him as a potentially like maybe taking that step up the MVP ladder. Like he had 36 home runs, hit .250. The average had to come up to be in that discussion, but his strikeout rate was 22%. I mean, it's just, I don't know. He swings and misses a freaking ton. Still hits the ball pretty hard, 14% barrel rate, but man, the swings and misses have just gotten out of control. And I don't know. I'm 13% swing strike rate this year. That's way off from where he used to be in 2019. I don't know what's up, but it's not good. And he seemed like he grew more frustrated and pissed off as the season went on. Maybe that probably didn't help him either.
What are the odds that we're going to hear like, oh, he's been playing through this all season, or if it's not the hip, it's something else. Yeah. I got to think it's pretty high.
Yeah, you would think so based on like if you look at his career basis versus the last couple of years, but. I mean, I know he played 150 games, so you got to think at some point, I don't know, you get 600 plate appearances. Hopefully you're somewhat healthy, but
yeah.
I mean, he just seemed like if you threw him up and hard, there was just, he had no chance.
Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I feel like age wise, you know, This was his age 28 season.
Yeah.
It should be, you know, peaks are earlier than they used to be, but
I expect some good. I kind of thought 2020 was a wash based on, you know, not only the short season, but the fact he was hurt. But I don't know. It's pretty disappointing. I mean, if they want to trade him, his trade value definitely went way down. So I don't think they will. I think if they were going to move somebody, it'd probably be trying, you know, move Olson off the career year and the, you know, 39 home runs and strikeouts way down. He had a really good year, but I don't know. Chapman still plays really good defense, so he still has a lot of like real baseball value. But I tell you what, this is a really rough year of him being, you know, playing full time.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. So in the main, where was he? You know, he was actually discounted quite a bit because of the hip.
Yeah,
he was third base 20.
This was he really? Wow, I didn't think it was quite that late. What was his ADP was maybe like the ninth round or something like that.
It was, you know, pick 131. So
okay.
Yeah, that's about right. Well, you know, batting average is never a thing for him. There's zero speed. Yep. So, you know, and if in a year in like an era where power is up, you know, if he just provides power and isn't going to provide average, it's, I can see how he gets discounted a little bit, but
yeah,
there are some whoppers in front of him, like Moustakas, Boehm. I don't know. You know, louder than a bomb. Dylan Moore, all these guys went before him. Key Brian Hayes, he was hurt, but Andrés Giménez, that was a fun one.
He just never hit the whole year.
Jeff McNeil, the best outfielder in baseball, you know, things like that. You know.
But then you got right in there, right in that range. You got Max Muncy, who was friggin' awesome.
Yeah, I skipped over him on purpose. Yeah. That hurt today though. I hope he's okay.
He's not.
No, it looks pretty bad, doesn't it?
They said unlikely for the first round, and it sounded even more unlikely for that first game, which is Wednesday. So
no, he won't play Wednesday.
I mean, he was like laying on the ground in pain. I think it's like it felt to me like kind of a really badly sprained wrist or forearm, like right in there as he reached in. But I want everybody to go in the playoffs. I want everybody to be at full strength. I have no rooting interest really with, you know, the A's are out. Our Reds are out. I don't have a huge rooting interest, so I just kind of want everybody healthy and good games. And I like to see Dodgers Giants. I just, as a fan of teams that won 106 games, like I'd love to see that series.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Yeah. I wanted chaos. I wanted the 4-way tie in the AL for the wild card. Didn't get that.
I wanted a Blue Jays game tomorrow. I'll admit it. That was who I was rooting for because that team is so fun to watch. I really wanted to see a Garrett Cole, Robbie Ray. With those two offenses game is what I was hoping for. And we would have gotten there. They were both kind of lined up to do it, but just didn't work out. I was hoping that was gonna be the playoff, the wild card game rather than the Red Sox.
Yeah. The Nationals just could not hold on to that lead. It was tough.
You kind of felt it was coming too. Like they're at 5-1. We had like the computer we were watching the 49ers game on the big screen, but we had like the computer going, and my wife's a big baseball fan. So she was watching that more than the football game. And it was, at 5-1, we're like, maybe this is going to work out. And you just kind of felt it was coming. And just they just don't like any baseball out there.
For like the first time, I was really bummed out that I didn't pony up for the MLB.com package because I just have DirecTV with extra innings. That's fantastic.
Why don't they do the grid channel on Sundays? Is that because of football? But that isn't.
Yeah, it's 100% because of football and resources.
They not have like the bandwidth to put up the grids on
apparently football not. Day? Or because this is not the first year it's been this way.
That seems crazy.
It does. It really is crazy.
Because like when they do the Masters or the U.S. Open like grid thing, they still have other sports going at the same time, don't they? I guess I've never looked.
Yeah. Well, it's because they have the grid channel for football.
Do they just want you to watch that, or they actually don't have the technology to do both?
Don't know. But
first thing I did at like 12:03 was I put channel 720 on DirecTV, and I was like, oh, there's no grid channel because I was just gonna. Put that in one of my TVs in the garage, and I just like, it's like, oh, that kind of was a kind of about. MLB Network did a pretty good job of kind of jumping around.
I was just gonna say, that's what I tuned into.
Yeah.
I have two TVs here, and then I had, you know, MLB Network on one and the grid channel on the other, especially once the early games ended, no need for Red Zone anymore.
Yeah.
I can just watch the grid and all that at the same time. And yeah, and I loved it when they had Brian Kenny on. I think he's fantastic. I think he's one, you know, he gets a lot of things. He's obviously sabermetric friendly, which is a positive for me. He followed up with Amsinger, who's not that. And it was less good, but that's okay. You know, we had drama down the stretch. I mean, Rays Yankees was a good game. Yeah. Nats Red Sox, obviously. everything else kind of stunk. It was all big blowouts.
Yeah.
Unless you're a Giants fan and you're pretty happy.
Yeah, my in-laws are Giants fans. They were over watching the 49ers game, so they like had another TV for the Giants. So it was just – it was fun chaos, though. It was a good, good fun sports day. But what about fantasy league-wise? You mentioned it was a rough NFBC league for you year for you. It actually was for me, too. I had to go back, but I think this is the first year I did not win a league, whether it be an online or a main event. It was a weird, rough year, and just a year I could never get traction. I finally got there in the main event. Like 2 weeks ago, I got to like third, and within striking distance of seconds, kind of fell back. I couldn't get batting average all year. I couldn't find a fifth, sixth, seventh starter. I was looking back at my results this morning. And it's like I just ended up throwing like a third reliever too much a lot, and it really hurt me in strikeouts. I looked at the innings. There's just a lot of like crappy middle relief guys I threw for 1 or 2 weeks. It's just hard to get by. I mean, those stud middle relief guys you can use for ratios and strikeouts and kind of get by, but I used too many of those. I just could never find that fifth, sixth, seventh starter to get me some strikeouts. I just found that I looked at my team and I cycled through so many bad guys in those spots.
Yeah. Did you cash?
I did not. I finished like 3 points out of third, 4 points out of third, something like that.
So I only cash I did got in the NFBC was the second chance, the Memorial Day Second Chance Challenge. All finished right. Second to Rob Silver in that. At one point during the week, I had a tie for first, but he was pretty much in first the last few weeks of the season. So congrats to Rob, good player. I finished 1 point out of third place in the main event, and I was tied for third going into today. This is an Erickson tradition.
Apparently, was there something that happened in the last day that affected it? Was there some like something that flipped?
Well, I didn't have any pitchers. There was one thing that could have, you know, it got to the point where I was like, okay, Carlos Estevez, you can get a win, you can get a save.
And the game was tied, right?
Yeah. So he came in a tie game in the ninth, and then he gives up a walk off to Josh Van Meter. I'm like, it's over. You know,
Did you have any pitchers that were supposed to go today that didn't because of how the like results and playoff races turned out?
No, I did not. I finished 2 points out of the money instead of one, but I actually dropped from third to fifth. So that was fun. I hit 200 today. I had no homers at home. A couple homers would have been handy. I had and stolen bases. I had one, but it doesn't matter. I was winning stolen bases already. The only pitcher that pitched today was Estevez. Kenley Jansen didn't pitch. They didn't need him to.
Yeah.
You know, the Rays crushed me this weekend. Shane McClanahan and Shane Baz, you know, don't get guys named Shane, apparently. This weekend, both had big leads early, and they both yanked him after three innings. I'm like,
Yeah, those are tough. I needed batting average was crazy in mine. It was like 254 or 255 was like five spots. It was insane. They moved around a lot. There's a reason why we jumped like 2 or 3 points every day, up or down. I was 3 for 36 today. So I did not gain batting average. Every time I flipped their box score, I was like 0 for 4, 0 for 2, and then left the game early. 0 for 4, 0 for, it was just.
I had that in an OC last year.
I'm going to stop flipping through this now.
I had a 2 for 41 last year in the OC and dropped from first to third in a 12 teamer. So that was pretty cool too. I am the master of the last eight collapse.
I'm more of like a last 2 weeks collapse, but it's hard. Like some of them you just can't plan for. We talked last week about how do you plan for this last weekend? Like you said, with Baz and McClanahan, it's really hard to do. Like, do you not throw those guys or do you, you know, it's hard to find other guys you can throw instead. Cause they're obviously really good pitchers. You need the ratios. You want the strikeouts, but I mean, I guess we probably knew they weren't going to go. We weren't going to go six or seven, but you hope maybe they sneak through five. But I mean, you can't blame the Rays for trying to set up whatever they want to do in the playoffs. I don't even know what they're exactly they're doing or who they're setting up. But I'm sure McClanahan and Boz are two of the guys now that Boz is on the roster.
Yeah, and you know the thing is, I got it wrong. Like the two pickups I made in that league were Austin Meadows, who I didn't even use this weekend because the Yankees were pitching two lefties against them.
Yep,
and he's benched against lefties now.
Yeah, and he sat Friday, so where I had him, I took him out too.
Yeah. By the way, he had a homer on Saturday on my bench. So that was pretty cool.
Of course he did.
Yeah, but he was 1 for 4 in that game, so I don't know. Yeah. I also dropped Cole Sulcer for Shane Baz. I won Shane Baz. By the way, Cole Sulcer this week had a save against the Red Sox. Okay, it wasn't as bad as I thought. Okay, he only had one save. Okay, but one save might have been one. Now one, I got to torture myself here.
One save feels like four in the last weekend, though.
Yeah, one save I would have got me I'm at 61 tied with one team, and there's a team with 62. So that would have got me a full point. That would not have cashed me. Okay. I feel a little better now.
Feel a little better. That's good. Is there, do you think there's a way you can figure out this last weekend or this last week? Or you think you just kind of, you fall into some bad luck. Is there something you can learn from this to kind of make yourself, make your last week seem a little better?
I mean, I don't want to be fatalist. I think that there's probably things we can learn and things I probably should have known, to be fair. You really have to dig. You really have to say, okay, these guys are X number of games out. These guys are done. These guys got something to play for. The niche is trying to find either the team that has something really to play for or someone that doesn't care but is still playing, is playing the starters anyhow.
Like Minnesota this weekend threw guys five innings. Like Pineda got a win. I think Griffin Jacks got pitched five shutout innings. And there's a couple teams in there, but it's hard to figure out which ones those are, and it's hard to know when teams clinch. And more than anything, you talk about like Boz and McClanahan. It's hard to find other guys to pitch in those spots. Like, it's not like you're looking at the waiver wire, like, oh, here's a guy that's going to throw 10 innings this weekend and give me 12 strikeouts. None of those are showing up on the waiver wire the last week of the season.
No, you're right. And who was it for the Rays that got a win yesterday? It was someone that we are starting earlier this year and not.
Colin McHugh?
No, it's someone not as good. I got to find this. It's going to bug me.
Luis Patino.
Yeah, exactly.
He threw like the middle couple innings or something, right?
Right. As a guy who was a four inning starter most of the year, it's like,
how the heck do you throw him in there, though? Like, it's just the last week is tough. I think that there's probably some stuff to be learned from that. I'm not totally sure what it is, but I think you're right. I think it's that teams that need it and teams that really don't need it is the kind of the mix there and are throwing guys for five or six innings, which is important.
Yep.
Exactly. Yeah, so I struggled there, but then NFBC took over the Diamond Challenge, which is the CDM sports game for a lot of years. Kind of saved my season. I actually won my league there. I finished 10th overall. I think it's out of like 800-900 teams. So that's like $3,300 between there. So kind of paid for
cash.
Paid for my two main event teams and call it even, I guess. But yeah. I don't know. It's it was weird. I was like 100th in the end of June and went on a huge run. It's a salary cap game where it's kind of like season-long DFS. We have a salary cap you can't go over, but you have a set roster, and you can make 16 buys and drops during the season. That's the only moves you can make. It turns out to be a lot. It's like one every 1.5 weeks or whatever it turns out to be. But I had a couple buys left, which not many people had. I used one on Robbie Ray late in the year. Didn't really work out well. I got his after all the great starts, I got one of his bad ones in there. So I went from like 100th to like 10th in late August and never made a move from there. But still finished 10th, which is there's 12 spots of cash overall. So kind of saved me a little bit from a really bad financial season. The guy that won there, Craig Alm, is known as Dakota Boys. He's now won two baseball overalls there and a basketball overall over the last 5 years too. Just like one of those people that nobody knows, but it's an absolute monster at the salary cap.
He's the Casey Chaw of the Diamond Challenge.
He is. He goes by Dakota Boys. He's the best season or salary cap hoops player I've ever seen. He's actually sent me his spreadsheets. We talk a bunch. He like runs all this stuff. The spreadsheet's just nuts. He like, you even use half of that and you're going to finish in the top 25. He's really good. Really good guy too. So good to see him. He won $59,000 in that, so not a bad little Sunday right there. Yeah, he had no moves left with like 7 weeks left, so just kind of finagled his way through it pretty well. So he had a big Trey Turner weekend. Trey Turner had two grand slams this weekend, didn't he?
Is that good?
Yeah, that's more RBIs than like a couple of my teams right there. But
yeah,
what about Fab during the year? Did you find that there's anything that you need to do differently in Fab? I kind of went back and I picked up Adolis Garcia the first or second week, and that was obviously a huge add. 30 home runs, 16 stolen bases. I know the batting average fell off the second half, but for a guy you picked up for free, that's obviously a huge boon there. But looking through everything else, I just cycled through a lot of average players didn't really get much. I don't know if I need to be more aggressive on trying to attack the really guys that are really difference makers and not. I do a lot of like the $20, $30 ads, and those didn't work out this year. But I need to go look back at my Fab and kind of figure out that if I'm doing something wrong, or I need to do something a little bit different too.
I think that's a good. I mean, it's obviously a good process, and you have to do that. I actually have to kind of go through that and just go through every league week at a time. I mean, Tyler O'Neill was a pickup in one league. Actually,
that's nice.
He was a pick. It was a draft, a drop, and then a pickup in one league, and it was just a pickup in the other.
He was a draft and drop in a couple of mines, and that was not one that worked out well.
Well, yeah, and the thing is, the reason why you went after him, the first point is the lesson here. Same with Adolis Garcia.
Right.
Now, yes, he has a flaw. He strikes out a lot. Batting average is a problem, but he's capable of hitting for power. He's capable of running. You just take shots. I think that's the takeaway.
And I liked it. I think I just dropped him because he got hurt early on in the year. And I was just one of those guys that you drafted because you liked, but near the end of the draft, especially in a 12-teamer, you're like, oh, I can't really hold on to a guy that I took in the 24th round or whatever. But 34 home runs and 15 stolen bases later with a .285 average, which is the one thing that I never saw that coming. I mean, but I mean, you look at his, you look at his past years, and you look at the 4 years, he had over a .360 BABIP in three of those 4 years. I mean, hits the ball really hard and
runs really hard and
And so, huge year for those who grabbed him.
For next year, ton, as we like to call him.
Yep.
Tim and I do. Where are you on him next year?
Probably not high enough. He's probably like a early, probably like a late third round guy, early fourth round, somewhere in there.
Yeah. I mean, are you personally on that, or is that what your guess that he's going to be at?
That's what I'm guessing is ADP, and I don't think I'm going to be there on him. I just I liked him as a speed power guy who might hurt the average in the 20th round. I don't think I could do it in the third or fourth round. Obviously, I haven't come anywhere near looking at rankings or ADP or projections, but I think it's going to be a little rich for my blood. I tend to not end up drafting the huge breakout guys like that the next year.
Sir, how dare you not have your rankings for 2022
already? I know, right? I should. I see people like – I saw a picture of someone. I think it was – I forget who it was, but I apologize. But someone had their computer out in their patio. Like, oh, it's nice. I'm going to start working on my 2022 prep. And I was like, my God, no wonder I lose to you people. It's crazy. By the way, I think the competition in the main event is a lot better than it was 8-10 years ago too. I think it's – it always was really good. There are like in the stats out there now. I mean, there are people that are insanely good. We obviously you had Phil Dussault on the show on Thursday, and
he's so good.
Great.
So explain to me this though, because the competition really is better and better and better. The information out there is better and better and better.
Yes,
but nobody's ever dominated like Phil has. I mean, dominated. He won the main overall. He won the auction championship overall. He was second in the online championship. He cashed every single league.
Yep.
Over 20 leagues. Best so
you ball. You take all the stuff you just said, all the big money prizes, like that's incredible. The cashing in all 22 leagues is by far the most incredible statement.
It's insane.
Yeah.
It's impossible.
Yeah. I play 14s. I've had really good years where I cashed in probably three or four, maybe four or four. I don't even know I had a four or four. 22 and 22 is impossible.
How do you have one? How do you miss like having one bad league?
I think you hit on a lot of guys and you draft aggressively to get all your guys in your leagues. I mean, I think that he had, I heard your show, but there was like 8 or 10 pitchers he focused on and six of them hit and he had them on over half his teams. I mean, he believed his projections. He believed his rankings and he just went fully on. I mean, that if it doesn't work, you don't cash in any of those teams, the thing, but if it hits, I mean, he's shown he hits a lot more often than not. He's been really good for 3 years now. It's not like
he's not blindly stabbing either. No. He has a process and it works.
Yeah, it's
he's smarter than all of us.
Yeah, he's gonna be tough to beat. It's gonna take a lot of work to beat him. I don't think this is a huge year, and then he goes back to normal. I think he's gonna be up there every year. It'll be him and Casey Char are the two guys to beat at the moment.
Yeah, yeah, and just trying to learn from that. And
what did you learn from the podcast? Is there anything he told you or you guys talked about that you think you'll do a little bit different this year? In just direct reaction to that.
I need to step up my spreadsheet game, for one.
Are you good enough at spreadsheets to do so?
No, I need to learn.
Yeah,
I don't know how to do a regression analysis on Excel. I just don't. It's not. I'm a poli sci major. I'm a law school guy. I'm a talking head.
Yeah.
And these are things I don't get. I mean, I'm good at math. I was really strong in math and growing up and. Then I just stagnated and stopped learning.
Do you think you can get good enough at that for it to be worthwhile to you?
I think I need to. I need to serve my customers well, to do better projections, to, you got to figure like my results should track other people's results too. I mean, maybe I'm helping in a lot of ways, but I mean, my projections, I should be winning with my projections is the way I think about it there.
Right.
And I'm not winning enough. It's a soul searching moment right now, without a doubt.
All right, I got you. I want to hit back on that, but first a note from our sponsors at WinBet. If there's one thing we appreciate here at RotoWire, it's making good decisions, and even more so, making the right decision. Listen up. I have an incredible offer for you with RotoWire's newest partner, WinBet, the premier digital casino and sportsbook app. WinBet is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcast. WinBet brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more all at your fingertips. You want to break from sports betting? Head into WinBet's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WinBet is currently available in six states, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, while rapidly expanding at all times. At WinBet, the possibilities are limitless. WinBet is currently offering all RotoWire listeners a risk-free bet up to $500 on your first wager. Download WinBet now. That's W-Y-N-N-B-E-T. WinBet, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcast.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So, Jeff, I had the next thing to talk about kind of going into 2022. So, just to hit back on that, the Excel, are you actually gonna learn that? You're actually gonna take that step to learn how to do that kind of stuff? How are you?
I hope so.
How are you thinking you're gonna work that out and plan that? Because it's not. I assume that's a difficult task to figure out.
I don't know. Right. I don't know if it is or not. I believe in myself that if I have the time to do it, the problem is setting aside the time, right?
Yeah, I would think you could definitely figure it out. It's just a matter of finding that time and energy with football right. And family and basketball and all the other stuff that you obviously guys do at RotoWire.
Right, a three ain't bad, and it's not basketball. But
we got the season starting 2 weeks. I'm gonna be a couple of basketball drafts here in the next.
Actually, that's not true. I'm in two basketball leagues. I'm also in Raz Slam, but it's a best ball league and it's done.
So. I drafted in that too.
Yeah.
We had someone time out 3 times in the first 3 rounds. It was fun.
Always.
Yeah. It's like the 3rd overall pick. And I was like, this is going to be a long.
We had like 3 people in the forum commenting and there's just no community whatsoever. It was a bummer.
Yeah. But I'll be in the NFBKC online and probably one main event team. I have 3 top 10s there in the last 5 years or something like that. So I do. I really like that. I'm better at basketball than I am at football for sure. And I just, probably follow it. I mean, I think that everybody follows football so closely. There's the edge there is really tough. But I think basketball, there's a lot to be followed there that's really tough. I mean, you get a lot of like no-name guys that end up being really good where you rarely see that in football. So,
yeah.
I think that the spreadsheet thing's interesting because I listen to your podcast too, and I can do a lot of like spreadsheet stuff where I track my results, but I'm not running regressions either. And yeah, maybe I'm just I don't think that many people are, but maybe I'm just falling behind if I don't. I don't know. It's a tough one to figure out with someone like Phil. Like, I mean, clearly he's doing something right, and he's keeping that information, and he knows what he's doing, and he's been really good. And it's just it's hard to compete with that, I suppose.
Yeah, it is, and. You know, there's one thing about learning the players, and there's another thing about learning what the stats mean, too. And
I think what he's done is he's combined those. Like, there's a lot of people, yeah. I think, that can do the numbers and do the stats but can't do the other part. And I think he's really got comfortable and learned how to do the other part, which is really dangerous if you could do both of them. Because I'm probably pretty good at the second part but bad at the math part. And if you can get someone that could do both of those and also grinds and works hard on it and is willing to, you know, make some decisions that maybe he disagrees with the computer stuff a little bit. He talks about, especially with pitchers and closers, like he has to like look at stuff and, you know, not just spit out the numbers. He's found the right percentage of combo between those things. That's worked out well.
How soon do you start prepping?
It's a really good question because the answer is usually not for a long time. I think I'm going to change that a little bit. I'm pretty frustrated by my season. I mean, you and I have talked about it. I got insanely busy like in January, February, March to the point I was working like 100 hours a week. And it was just hard to find. I mean, I follow baseball enough that I know who everybody is. I know who plays in the team. But like really digging in and figuring out who I want in the seventh round or, you know, in the 18th round and later. Like we talked a couple times in the preseason how I felt pretty good about the first 10 rounds. But you know, those guys in the second half of the draft are ones that you dig in and find and figure out you like guys. And those are the guys that you take on a lot of teams too. Like in the first five rounds, it depends where you are in the draft. You just can't get guys sometimes. But past round 15, like if you like somebody, you target somebody, you can just take them. Like they're there. You can go a couple rounds early. Who cares if you take them in the 19th round instead of the 22nd round? Like nobody cares at that point. And that's where you see these really good players get, you know, guys on three out of four teams. It's those late guys that they really like, they target, they find. When those guys break and they're on 60% of your teams, you see someone like Phil with like Logan Webb or Steven Matz. He had on a bunch of teams too. And he had those guys on a bunch of teams because they were easy for him to get because he just picked when to get them.
Right. And Robbie Ray, for crying out loud. We talked about that. You know,
what was his, well, I listened, but for everybody else that didn't listen to that one, what was his answer for why Robbie Ray was a guy that he attacked?
Well, I think it was, I mean, mostly strikeouts was the starting point there. And
wins too, I think he said. Right?
Yeah. Yep.
Obviously, a team is going to score a ton of runs. And, you know, that's two of the four categories right there. And you just hope that the ERA is middling. And obviously, it took a huge step up.
Yep. And, you know, I tended to believe that Robbie Ray was never going to be that good. That was a lot of smoke and mirrors that he was not going to be fixed. There was positive buzz in spring training. The signs were there. I just did not heed them.
To be fair, there were positive signs spring training in 2020 also.
Yep.
And ERA was 6.5 or whatever it was. But yeah, I think that back half of the draft is where you really can differentiate yourself and attack guys and get them on a lot of teams. And that's where you see the people that do really well, they take a lot of the same guys in those rounds. And when they work, they really work well. Whereas I wasn't as focused in those last the second half of the draft. And I kind of end up grabbing guys that I know or that I like, but not that I've really studied and I didn't know that I want to target them.
Yep. And it allows you, when you draft Jacob DeGrom and he gets broken, that you can withstand that.
Yeah. Whereas I had pitchers that got hurt. I had like Dustin May, who I loved and he was looking great, but he got hurt and suddenly I had no depth. I forget who it was, one on the IL too. And I just, like I said, I'm throwing third relievers in there. I'm throwing guys that just have no chance to get a win or a save, really. But, you know, I'm like, oh, this guy won't hurt me. But three strikeouts later and, you know, gives up a couple runs. And you're like, all right, that was a wasted week right there. And then by the time you do that, you know, you've got 6-7 points in strikeouts and you find yourself throwing some bad two starters. And then suddenly you're moving up in ratios. It's kind of a vicious circle.
Yeah. Phil was always talking about how he had fewer biases going in, that he was willing to trust his spreadsheet, trust his numbers. Yep. Everybody says they want to do that, but it sounds like he actually pulled that off. That's easier said than done, especially if you've been playing for a very long time.
It is.
You read Keith Law's book on the various biases that are out there exist, and it's hard to overcome. It's hard to even acknowledge they exist. hard to recognize them, let alone overcome them. But
yeah, I know that I do it, whether it be like players. Probably for me, it's more like types of players. I usually like, I just don't like a guy that usually for me is like strike out that much or hard hit rate's low. Like it's, you know, it helps sometimes with like someone like Victor Robles.
I was just going to say that.
That's worked great. But I think that you can't take that and just put it on everybody that has anywhere near that profile. I think everybody's got to be looked at individually. And that's why the starting earlier, I think I'm going to do. And I'm not going to go crazy, but I think I'm going to, you know, I usually wait till stuff comes out. But I don't think you need to do that anymore. I think that with FanGraphs and RotoWire and, you know, Baseball Savant, all the information you need is there. It's not like you need to wait for a magazine to come out. You need to wait for Roto Lab to come out. Right. Or it is like I used to kind of do. And I'm like, oh, I'll just wait till that happens. But everything there, everything I need is there. With baseball, I do a lot of my own work. I don't read a lot of other people's stuff, at least like in trying to build my rankings and my prep. So I just, everything's there. I usually worry about burning out, but I think I'm going to kind of go a little bit by little bit, take a position here and there and kind of maybe start a month earlier than I usually do.
Yeah. You know what? You're right. And I, you know, it's funny because I really want to get started earlier on some of these things, you know, and all that, but it is all there, first of all.
Yeah.
And also it's, you know, it's easier if you get started sooner too. And in these latest podcasts, we've been talking about what are you doing for 22 with this guy and all that. It gets you thinking, but then there's like actual systematic hard work, and that's a little bit different.
And I mean, I think the key thing you said there is hard work. We talk about how competitive it is. It takes a lot of work to do well in these leagues, and it's fun and I love doing it. It's a hobby, but it takes a lot of hard work. If you're going to do well in these leagues, there's no way that wins these leagues without working hard. I think Phil in your podcast mentioned like 1500 hours to redo his spreadsheet over the last, whatever year it was. And I was like, that's a lot.
Insane.
Was that the number he used? I don't want to misquote it, but I think that was the number he used in your podcast. But, it takes a lot of work to win these leagues, and they're fun, and it's really fun when you do, but you're not going to roll into the draft with your draft board and kind of pick well and then not work hard in the year. I mean, it's a combo of prepping for the draft and working in season. It's a grind. It's a fun grind, but no doubt winning one of these leagues, it takes a lot of work.
Yeah, exactly right.
Any shift in like what you may look at stat-wise? Is there anything like you've learned this, that you're like, I'm going to look more at, I don't know, swing strike rate or barrel rate? Is there anything like that jumped out to you that maybe you think you're going to look a little further out?
No, but what I want to do first before all that is kind of audit my teams and see if there's a consistent thing I'm missing. I'll look at, you know, year-end earned auction values too, for that matter. Is there a certain type of player I just don't have? Or is there one I'm over-investing in? You know, that sort of thing. Like, there's a couple of players, like a couple of leagues where I had Clint Frazier in the 10th round. You know, it's like, how did I miss so badly on this one?
Right.
You know, that sort of thing. It's not like, you know, there's some like Sixto Sanchez. Okay, I got unlucky there.
I was going to say, there's some like, if somebody gets hurt in the first week, like I just think it's, you know, whether you liked them or not, that's tough to really get too down on. It's the guys these guys are bad all year that like, what did I see that I should have seen? What did I not see that I should have seen? Like it just, I think it's good. And maybe at some point, you know, maybe somebody's had a bad year. There's a lot of stuff. You know, these are humans. People have rough years. People have bad stuff. But like, I need to look at Christian Yelich, first of all. Like I took the guy in the first round and I ignored 2020, and clearly I shouldn't have. We talked plenty about him, but just one of those things that, you know, guys that played all year that didn't do what we think, you know, it's important to look and maybe see if we missed something or, you know, maybe there was just something outside of the stats that we just don't know about that could have affected it too.
Right. And, you know, we kind of have to look at a little bit on draft strategy a little bit there, too. Yep. I know in my AL home league, I got to change things up a little bit. I've had two bad years in a row. And I had too much hinging on a couple of players. And when they go down, you know, in an only league with very thin benches, no IR spots, you know, it just I set myself up for failure. And so,
and that's what makes baseball great, though, is that you have to have a draft strategy. It's not just about picking the exact best player. I mean, that you obviously want the best player, but you have to piece a team together, especially in an FBC type format where you can't trade. You know, you're limited to, you know, if you have 400 saves, it's not going to do that much for you. So if you hit on every closer, you really have to piece together. And it's a big puzzle, and that really makes it fun, but difficult at the same time.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little about the playoffs, but first a note from our sponsors at Vivid Seats. The summer is coming to an end. I guess it's pretty much over now, although it was really hot in the last 2 days in LA, so I didn't feel like the summer was over. But which means only 1 month until the postseason baseball. Obviously, postseason baseball here now. There's no better place than Vivid Seats to watch your team race in the postseason. Grab your MLB tickets, maybe a stadium hot dog or two, and cheer on your favorite team from the stands. Even better, they have rewards programs designed to provide real rewards for fans, earn rewards, ticket upgrades, and perks just for shopping. If you're looking for tickets to that playoff game or your favorite performer or the new show everybody's talking about, visit Vivid Seats. They have it all. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live. So, Jeff, we had no ties. We mentioned earlier you were rooting for chaos. You got no chaos. It worked exactly to the way there was none of that. But we got two, like, really good wild card games. We have, like, probably the four most storied franchises in baseball playing each other. We have the Yankees and Red Sox on Tuesday, the Cardinals and Dodgers on Wednesday. The 106-win Dodgers in a wild card game is pretty crazy. And as your reward, you get to play a team that you're 15 games better than, but that's won, like, 100 games in a row. So it's a tough slate there. We got Scherzer and Wainwright on Wednesday. How do you feel that game's coming out here?
It's wild that the Dodgers went 6-0 last week. And gained one game.
There was a stat like they're over the last 45 games. They were like, they're like the seventh best record ever in a stretch like that.
And they gained one game before today.
One or two games or something. It's crazy. The crazy thing about that is the Padres are the worst team in baseball in that same stretch, which is just like that collapse.
Padres ended with a losing record.
And like, I remember like in March, we're like, this is a juggernaut. Like, this is monster. And it's just, they were awful the last 2 months, like legit terrible the last 2 months.
They fell apart. And apparently there was a lot of stuff behind the scenes, losing the clubhouse, blah, blah, blah. But that happens when you lose too. So
it tends not to be so friendly when you're losing that many games. But how do you feel about the NL wildcard game? Obviously the Dodgers will be at home. They've got the absolute ace on the mound, but obviously Adam Wainwright's been really good. Max Muncy got hurt today. If anybody saw it, kind of bent his wrist back on a throw at first base, and they said he's pretty much not going to play on Wednesday and unlikely to play if they make it to the NLDS. But how do you feel about this game? Are you Dodgers going to win this game and kind of move forward? Or I mean, obviously one game anything can happen, but it's hard to
win games and anything can happen. And Scherzer didn't pitch well in his last start for that matter either.
Last two starts, actually, he was awesome. Yeah. And then last two were rough.
Yeah, he was CC Sabathia after the trade deadline, Rick Sutcliffe after the trade deadline, and then it became somebody else.
John Lester after the trade deadline.
You're just bitter. He was good.
Clay Thompson's brother going grand slam on him this weekend was just beautiful. I loved it.
I bet you enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was nice.
You enjoyed that quite a bit. I think that I'd still lean Dodgers, but man, Cardinal Devil magic is hard to overcome.
I mean, they're confident. They're red hot. Like, they're not going to be – they're not limping into that series at all. That one game slate at all. But it'd be fun. I mean, that's it'd be interesting what Wainwright can do, because he obviously has been really good all year. But, you know, the stuff is not there like it is with Scherzer. But that'll be – you don't get probably like 37 versus 37. Are they both kind of same age, right? It's a wild matchup.
Yeah, it is. It is. And for people, you know, if you look back like 2 years ago and say, okay, Adam Wainwright is going to have two monster years in a row.
Wainwright's 40. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. And that after the 3 years in a row, he had 2017 through 2019, they'd have these last 2 years did what he did. You'd be like, no way.
Going into your age 39 season, you don't see the big bounce back happening.
No, I mean, it's amazing.
He threw 206 innings this year too. It's not like he was like, in and out of line. He made 32 starts, 206 innings, 305 ERA. I mean, that's crazy.
I think the big key in this game is that Wainwright gives them some depth.
Yeah.
Because the huge disadvantage for the Cardinals in their bullpen.
Yeah. They've got Gallegos in the back, who's really, really good, but like that bridge from Wainwright to Gallegos could be really sketchy.
Pretty shaky. Pretty shaky. Dodgers missing Muncy is going to be huge too.
Yeah.
I mean, Pujols pretty much has to play first. Well, that's not true. They could put a lot of guys there, but you don't want Pujols to face Wainwright because righty on righty, you need him facing a lefty. He's actually really good against lefties.
Yes.
Maybe put Matt Beattie at first base. That's what I'm thinking. He homered today, actually. But that'll be interesting to see what happens in that.
You're right. That losing a left-handed bat there is, I mean, that's tough. Cause you have Seager, you sort of have Bellinger. I don't know if we can count him as a big left-handed bat at the moment, but they're very right-handed otherwise.
Do you put Bellinger at first base? Maybe.
It depends if you want to play Chris Taylor or not, because he's been slumping pretty badly. But
he's been hurt. He's got that neck issue. Yeah,
he's been a key guy for them during the year. So it depends if you want to play Taylor or not, what you do with Bellinger.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's Probably Taylor or Beatty, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Gavin Lux will be off the bench in that game. I think Pujols will be off the bench in that game. So I think it comes down to Beatty or Taylor.
Yeah, probably so.
What about the AL? The AL we have Nate Eovaldi against Gerrit Cole. Gerrit Cole feels like he's either been lights out or gotten smoked lately. I mean, the Blue Jays smoked him this week. He did not look good. They were hit a lot of hard hit balls off him. I think that was Wednesday against the Blue Jays. How do you feel about the AL game, aside from the fact that the networks must be loving the New York-Boston one game playoff?
In LA, St. Louis, for that matter,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, both great.
Screw the networks, though. But anyhow, just got to say that. I get so annoyed, like, oh, the networks are going to hate this. Well,
the casual fan will probably like it. We'll go
as a fan of a small market team.
Yeah.
As we are.
Yes, I feel you. Trust me.
For all the uncertainty with Cole, look at his season.
Oh, still really good. It's just feels like there's days out there where he just doesn't quite. I mean, he's still really, really good. He was not the.
We're elite, just spoiled by his how good he's been.
Absolutely.
But I will say this: Boston games. Let's see. He pitched two starts ago, six innings, three runs. Okay, another time, five innings, three runs. But it did get 8 Ks. For that, though, 11 Ks. So you have to go back to July 17th. So he's had a lot of, he's had three second half starts against them there. But
do you know what Nate Eovaldi's last start against the Yankees was?
It was bad, wasn't it?
2 2/3, 7 earned.
That's bad, right? Yeah. It's in Boston, isn't it?
Is it in Boston? Somebody asked me that. I thought it was New York, but I think I just thought that because they were ahead the whole week. It's in Boston. You're right.
I just pulled a list, though. I asked the question instead of looking it up myself. He does that to me all the time. It's funny on SiriusXM, but
it is.
Yeah, it is in Boston. I thought they were. I think it was 10-9 in the season series.
Oh, there you go. That definitely helps. You got to think the Yankees are probably a -165-ish favorite, maybe a little bit more.
JD Martinez might not play. Remember, he got hurt today too. So
I'm wrong. That line's like -120. I'm really surprised that line's that low. I like the Yankees in that game.
It's in Boston.
Yeah. The Dodgers are -213.
Yeah, I'm not surprised at that. But
it's a big line, but home game and with Scherzer. So Let's jump into the rest of the playoffs, though. I want to kind of see who you think is going to kind of come out through here. But finally, a note from our sponsor sponsors at Yahoo DFS. The new NFL season is underway, and Yahoo's excited to kick off daily fantasy football. There'll be a ton of big prize contests throughout the season on Yahoo, including their multi-entry contest now being shark-free. To celebrate the beginning of the football season and Yahoo Daily Fantasy Football became shark-free, Yahoo's giving all users the opportunity to get a free $10 in contest entry credit. Users can take advantage of this free $10 contest entry credit offer to join one of Yahoo's biggest contests. In addition to the free credit, Yahoo has a $1 million DFS contest live. The $1 million contest finishes $1 million in total prizes, including a first place receiving $100,000 and entry into the first ever Yahoo Fantasy Football Championship live events final, which will occur at the MGM National Harbor in Maryland this December. So play daily fantasy football on Yahoo this season. Visit sports.yahoo.com/dailyfantasy/welcome to get your free $10 offer to get all started. So, Jeff, we got the Rays against the wild card winner and the White Sox and the Astros in the American League. Who do you think win those two series? Who do you think comes out of this bracket?
Well, I do think that the Rays beat Boston or New York, but, it's always funny because you just like, who's going to start for him? But we fixate so much on the starter and not on, like, everybody else that follows after that, let alone their lineup. And both the Yankees and the Red Sox have real problems in their rotations right now.
Yep. And the Yankees at least have the bullpen. They can. Their bullpen's been really good the last couple of weeks. Nobody in the Red Sox bullpen comes in. I get fired up about it all. Like everybody makes me scared, except for Tanner Houck. But I think imagine he'll start one of the games. I guess I don't know what exactly they would do, but I think he would start one of the games. But
they got Whitlock back this weekend, and I think that's a big one.
Helps. Yeah, but between Ottavino, Hansel Robles scares me late in games in a big game. A close game in the eighth and ninth inning, I have a hard time feeling comfortable with Boston.
100% agree.
The Rays can throw 12 guys at you and they're all good.
Yeah. If the Yankees get a lead, their bullpen's pretty strong.
It is. It's been really good the last couple of weeks too.
Yeah. Although it's watered down a little bit because, of injuries. But they got Loaiza back, and that's a big one.
Huge. I'd throw him seventh and eighth and go to Chapman the ninth as if I were doing. I extend to Loaiza a little bit in the playoffs, and I think they probably will. But you're right. They're a team that if it's 5-2 in the sixth, you might be in a little bit of trouble because they can shut you down pretty good at the back end.
Yep.
I think Houston's going to beat the White Sox. I think I hate to do it. I don't want Houston to win. I will not be rooting for them. But I think the key guys in this series, I think it's going to be one of the bigger guys in the whole playoffs is Lance McCullers. Him and Framber Valdez, if they pitch well with that offense, they're really important. They've both been sub 3-4 ERA guys since the All-Star break. I think those are the two guys that they kind of determine the AL to me. If those guys pitch really well, I think the Astros actually come out of the AL, as much as I hate to say it. But I think it's Astros Rays. I think the Astros end up winning, unfortunately.
Yeah. The thing is, the Astros and the White Sox both have been on cruise control for such a long time now.
It's tough to like kick it back into gear, isn't it?
Well, it's not just that, but also it's tough to evaluate them because they've been resting guys. They've been cutting guys short a little bit here and there. You can look at what they did recently, but the fact is they've had the luxury of kind of setting everything up. By the way, a quick note of appreciation for Dusty Baker. You know, he's won division titles on 5 different teams now.
Pretty amazing.
I think that's pretty good.
This would be a dumb question. Has he won a World Series? I don't think so, right?
I don't think so.
He should have with the Giants in 2002 and pulled Russ Ortiz too early. But like, you're right though. He's done a great job with a lot of teams and he takes a lot of heat from fantasy people, I think, over the years. But I think you don't see that like throwing guys for 125 pitches anymore. He's learned and he's adapted from the Mark Pryor, Kerry Wood days.
I 100% agree. And the thing is, there was legit critiques of him, but there were also he caught some raw deals. I mean, with the Reds and the Nats, he shouldn't have been fired in either case.
He was a perfect hire for Houston with all the stuff circling around there. They probably needed I hate to use, but like an old school guy, a guy that's going to go in there and he would be the face of that franchise. And it was a perfect hire for that fit.
Yeah. And again, he said some things that are whoppers over the years, but he's said a lot of smart things too. And, you know, he is a leader of men. There is no doubt about that.
Every team he has plays hard and he seems to get a lot out of guys, which there's lots to be said for that.
And I think that might be the bigger part of the job, except for when you get into like little series like this.
Yep.
But over the course of a long season, and especially in this job, it was so vitally important.
Who's their third starter in the playoffs? Obviously, you go Giolito and Lynn. Do you go Rodon, even with his, being injured, velocity down, or do you go Dylan Cease as your third starter? Probably Rodon, right?
I think they go 4 starters, but I don't know. I don't know.
You probably go a Rodon piggyback Ronaldo Lopez kind of thing, probably.
I'm just trying to think matchups here. The Astros have a ton of righties in their lineup.
Yeah, it's pretty much Alvarez and Tucker, and then everybody else is a righty, right?
Yeah, although Alvarez and Tucker are pretty damn good.
I think this could be the Kyle Tucker like become a star kind of playoffs. Like, I think we in the fantasy world know who he is. I don't think anybody outside of Houston in the fantasy world really knows. And I think it could be you get a feeling this could be like a Kyle Tucker's a star kind of come out playoffs.
Yeah. I have
on that cusp.
My Twitter feed isn't curated enough, so anytime Kyle Tucker bats 6th, I see like 5 people outraged by that.
Although a lot of that's to do with the fact that they have Yordan hitting 4th and the AL batting champion hitting 5th. It's not like they're putting them behind bad players. I mean,
Brantley's also a good lefty hitter too. Yeah, so there's another lefty hitter.
Yeah,
that's a pretty good balance.
I think your point on the White Sox. I feel like the White Sox have been a little more off the gas than the Astros have, and that worries me.
Oh yeah.
They've been on cruise control for like 6 weeks. Like it just they haven't had to put in the foot on the gas for a long time.
I think recent form can be overrated in the playoffs though too. I remember. Well, sorry, I'm going to bring this up. Our Reds versus REAs, 1990.
Yep.
The Reds got off to an incredibly great start that season. They were cruise control the rest of the way, and the A's were heavy favorites in that World Series because
that team was a monster.
Yeah, but the Reds were really awesome early on, and then Jack Armstrong fell apart. He was the All-Star game starter, and then he wasn't even in the rotation by the time of the playoffs.
It would have taken me a long time to come up with the 1990 All-Star game starter. I'll admit that to you.
Yeah. Well, it's only because it was my team. I don't really
give a – that's a name I haven't heard in a long time.
Yeah. But you look at, what they did. They had Eric Davis, they had Sabo, they had, Rio was amazing. Revenge series for Rio. I feel like
Billy Hatcher never got out in the World Series. So
no, that was nice too. That was pretty handy.
Mickey Hatcher in 88, Billy Hatcher in 90. I have just Hatcher nightmares. It's terrible.
Yeah. Them, I think what was it? 80, the Tiger, the Kirk Gibson Tigers. Is that 84?
The 84 one, that was the one that was really, really good. They were.
Yeah. Yeah. So
like that 35, was 35, 35, 35 and five. Yeah.
And then they were on cruise control the rest of the way. And I was like, oh, okay. They're just okay. But no, it's just, they were in cruise control. Yeah. And then they were ready to dial back up again. I think that happens a lot.
Yeah, there are teams that flip the switch, and they actually flip the switch. But you always worry about it a little bit. And I don't think this White Sox team is quite as good as those teams you mentioned. But
no, I agree. But
these are all fun series too. There's no like real stinker team in either's playoffs. There's no team like, oh, if they make it, it's not going to be very fun. These are all, the White Sox are full of fun players. I don't really like to root for Tony La Russa, but I can't root for the Astros either. So that'll be a series that I will watch and enjoy players, but I will not have a strong rooting interest.
You're not going to be rooting for Meteor necessarily, but
not quite that much. But I mean, there's a lot of guys I like watching play. Most of them are on the White Sox. I mean, Luis Robert's so fun to watch, and Eloy hits it a mile, and I love Tim Anderson too. So I think that I like more players in the White Sox. I just happen to think the Astros are going to end up winning the series.
Probably right. And you're right. There isn't a stinker team. I mean, if the Mariners had gotten there, you could argue that, but they're so fun too, because they're young and
I'm sure you've seen it, but the call, their local call from Saturday night when Haniger got the hit to drive in the run is just a great call.
Yeah.
Dave King? What's his name? Dave Sims. That's it. I knew it was Dave. I just couldn't get with the last name, but it was a great call. You could just tell he was like so into it, and they haven't been in the playoffs for. It's crazy that they have the record for the most wins ever, and they have not been in the playoffs since that season.
Right, and
it's why. I mean, everybody sneaks in the playoffs with a wild card at some point, and they just haven't. 20 years.
I know, and they haven't been utterly cheap all those years either. They have been cheap many of those years, but the future's bright for them. It was cool to see the tribute to Kyle Seager. Quietly had a really good year, 100 RBI year.
Yeah, they were fun. It was a fun little run, although a lot of it was on the fact that they beat the A's 11 in a row to get there. But
that's an insane number there, too.
By the A's were 4-3 against them through seven games. They ended up 4-14. It's pretty wild.
Yeah.
What about the National League? The American League starts on Thursday. National League starts on Friday. We've obviously got the Giants winning 107 games against whoever wins the game between the Dodgers and Cardinals. We both mentioned that I think Giants-Dodgers from five games would be a lot of fun. And I feel like the Giants are lined up pretty well for a series. I think we thought maybe they're a regular season team, but between Gausman, Desclafani, and Logan Webb, like they do have three good starters they can throw out there.
That's true.
They're not Scherzer, Walker Buehler, and Julio Urias. I get that, but nobody's going to match that. But I don't know if you're going to get to Cardinal Devil magic. There's something going on with this Giants team. They just kind of roll out there. Now they got Camilo Doval at the back of games, like striking dudes out. Feels a little bit like Francisco Rodriguez in 2002, where like came out of nowhere and just striking a lot of dudes out. And Jake McGee's back. Their bullpen got better. And I know there's some Jake McGee hiccups late in the year, but overall he had a really good year. They have 31 saves, and the WHIP was good. But they're fun. You got the Braves and Brewers as a fun series too. Who are you picking in that one?
I think I'll probably go Brewers, but I'm not really even sure. Because the Brewers had such an easy division, this is even with the Cardinals devil magic. I mean, they were so far ahead that it didn't matter, but, losing Devin Williams hurts.
Yeah,
you fought the wall and the wall won, always wins.
Somewhere Drew Pomeranz is now off the hook for that. He's down the road.
Oscar Ynoa is also off the hook for that.
That's right. Too. Same. Those guys are playing. The two teams are playing each other, which is pretty crazy. I mean, Twitter was, so holier than thou. I can't believe somebody, you just can't do it with your pitching hand, but like, it's tough.
We need, he's so important. Yeah.
Yes. Right. Throw with your left hand. It's pretty easy.
Yeah. Especially when the wall is your opponent.
If the Dodgers make it, let's just go with that. Do you think the Dodgers beat the Giants? Do you think the Giants beat the Dodgers? How do you feel about that?
People have gone broke doubting the Giants all year, but I just think it's
people have gone broke picking against the Dodgers in the playoffs the last 5 years too. They've won a lot of series.
Yeah, they have. I still think the Dodgers are the best team in baseball when they're at full capacity. But they're not at full capacity. No Muncy, no Kershaw.
No Kershaw.
That's a big one. That's a really big one there.
Everybody's going to have to save their Kershaw playoff jokes for another year.
God, I love
it. I do too. I'm really glad they won with him pitching last year rather than
win
this year when he's not there. I'm glad that he was like part of them winning because seems to be a really great dude and obviously an all-time elite pitcher. And the playoff jokes on Twitter got pretty rough for a while.
And the thing is, in baseball, the regular season matters so much.
I know.
I saw
a thread on Twitter that was like, "Oh, we're gonna see the Giants are really frauds in this playoffs when they lose the series." I'm like, I don't care if the Giants get swept in a 5-game series. Like, you win 107 games, you are not a fraud no matter what the heck happens in the short series.
Right.
You win 107 games in the regular season, like you are a legit great baseball team no matter what happens in a very short amount of time.
Exactly.
But if they lose, whatever, we're gonna hear a lot of those comments. They're gonna piss me off, even though I'm obviously not a Giants fan, but they will still annoy me.
In retrospect, I feel the same way about like the 1990 Braves, you know,
yeah.
1990s Braves, you know, or, you know, just that run. Only one World Series. Well, your A's, our A's, right. excuse me. You know, they won in 89, but that's all they won.
Not since, yeah. And then even the early 2000s, like they had 2-0 leads and two ALDSs. They went to four straight game fives and the team was really good. They just couldn't get over the hump.
All the money, the whole like critique of Billy Beane and Moneyball doesn't work in the playoffs. Well, you realize what challenges they had to overcome just to even have this excellence for such a long time.
Give me a stretch of 5 years in the playoffs over 1 year, making it deep in the playoffs and 4 years being terrible anytime.
Yeah. Would you rather have the Texas Rangers history or would you rather have be the Buffalo Bills? You know, it's like, you know, crossing sports, but you know what I mean? It's like,
do you want the Marlins or do you want the A's? Essentially is probably what it comes down to over that stretch.
Right.
A lot of people probably take the Marlins, take the two titles, but you know, give me all the years they weren't last place teams and all that too. But I really like this Braves team. I think the Braves are going to win the NL. I think the Braves are pretty good. I'm picking the Braves.
The whole NL?
I'm picking the Braves to win the whole thing World Series wise too. I think we're going to see, it's going to be the playoffs of, I think McCullers and Kyle Tucker on one side. Then we're going to get Austin Riley and Max Fried on the other side. Max Fried has been really good since the
last season. I won one league. It's because of Max Fried. I traded Joey Votto for Max Fried.
Talking about a trade that helped both people though.
Yeah, well, I traded him at the peak of Votto, at the peak of his. I traded for Votto, traded Ian Kennedy for him and then Votto got hurt after that.
I remember that.
I lost that trade with Fred. It was with Fred, Fred Zinke.
Does Fred ever lose a trade?
Well, he did because Votto was amazing when he came back. And Kennedy,
does Fred ever lose a league, though?
No, not really.
Yeah,
although I beat him in this league.
He's a really good player.
He's amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, Max Fried, I traded with Steve Gardner, got Votto for Fried, and that was huge down the stretch. All my pitching, I needed pitching down the stretch. I got it. Had this incredible run over the last like 3 weeks of the season, and you know, squeaked it out. It was a wild race. There were like six teams that had a chance to win that league in the last.
Those are so fun. It's stressful and it can be tough when you finish fifth in those, but it's still, I mean, that's what you play for.
The season ended 2 days later, I might've finished fourth, you know,
I very much missed the stress of the last weekend this year with not really being in the mix to win an NFBC league. It was, it's hard to do those and it's kind of stressful, but I really miss that. But
yeah,
Fried was 1.74 with a 0.85 ERA since the All-Star break. I think a key for them too is Ian Anderson's back, pitched really well his last two starts, 13 innings, 3 earned runs total. You put those two guys together with Charlie Morton. I really like how that rotation builds for a playoff series. Austin Riley, since he also break it, 331, 19 home runs. Like, he's broken out as a full star too. You stick Freddie Freeman in there. Ozzie Albies has been great. And quietly, Jorge Soler hitting 270 since the All-Star break with 13 home runs. We talked about Adam Duvall a couple weeks ago, been really good too. I mean, quietly, 30 and 100 or whatever it is.
RBI leader, right?
Yeah, I think if he wasn't, he was really close. I know it was right.
Yeah, I know at one point in the last week is leading the NL in RBIs, but you're still taking him over the Dodgers and Giants?
Yep.
I can't get behind that. They went out and got just smashed by those two teams.
I like the way they set up right now. I mean, I know that the Dodgers will be favored in that series. It's hard. How do you ever pin against the Dodgers?
I don't trust Will Smith in a ninth either, to be honest with you.
It's my one problem with the Braves is I don't trust Will Smith in the ninth either. I think that's the one thing that really scares me if I'm picking them, is that I just don't know what you're going to get from him in the ninth.
Yeah. It's a bold call.
Yep.
And you're probably getting pretty good odds if you want to invest in that call.
I likely will be doing so.
So
entertainment purposes only.
Yeah. For sure.
In California.
Yeah. Well, you know, you have friends that are in Vegas. So there you go.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just really like how I think that they're kind of building. I like what they did after Acuña got hurt. Obviously, you'd love if Acuña was actually playing, but I like the fact they went out and got these guys. They pieced them together well. I like how the front three of their rotation works out. The Will Smith part is the scariest part to me. And like, if they have a 1-run lead and he's coming in to face Justin Turner and Mookie Betts and Trey Turner,
or
like,
Will Smith,
or yeah. Will Smith also, like, yeah, I'll be scared.
We know how that went last year.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, so that does worry me a little bit, but I really like this Braves team right now, and I don't really want to pick a pure favorite. You know, it's hard to pick against the Dodgers, but the Dodgers have that first game. It's hard to pick a team that's in a one-game playoff too. I mean, they have a bad two innings in that game, and all of a sudden they're out of the playoffs. So yeah. I'm going Braves Astros in the World Series, and the Braves winning.
Okay, bold call, Cotton. I like it though.
How about yourself? By the way, you were right on Adam Duvall. 112 RBIs led the National League.
Yeah, he was a part of that LABR team too.
It's pretty wild. There's 8 guys over 105 RBIs and 7 of them in the American League.
Yeah. And well, it was the pitcher, you know, the NL being the pitcher league and the AL being the hitter league actually kind of came to fruition this year.
The Austin Meadows 106 RBIs still freaks me out every time I see it. I have in my head somewhere that he had a bad year.
And he's a platoon player now.
Yeah. And he hit 230, but he had 106 RBIs.
Yeah, might have been a lot of guys on base in Tampa.
Just a few here and there. But you're right, played 140 games with that too. So that's impressive.
I'm gonna go Giants Astros.
That'd be a fun series. I'd actually have to root for the Giants. It'd be crazy.
Yeah, Dusty Baker versus his old team. Narrative
Street. That'd be fun. I like that. Do you think the vitriol is still there for Houston?
You're better judge of that as a Bay Area denizen of sorts.
I feel like in April and May, it really, really was, because nobody got that chance last year because there were no fans. I think that it kind of faded off for the year.
I think it ramps back up in the playoffs.
I was going to say probably back in the playoffs when we get like national attention, you probably get some more of it. But I feel like everybody got out of their system in April and May a lot. And I wouldn't think so
in the first series against Chicago. But if they face the Yankees or Red Sox,
yeah,
although the Red Sox will be hyper hypocritical. It actually is with the Yankees too, but that's another story for another day.
But the fans would definitely be when the Astros went to play the Yankees this year. That was way louder than it was in Oakland or in the Dodgers. Like when they went to New York, that was like the biggest they got booing.
New York was louder than Oakland. Wow, who knew?
I walked right into that one.
Yeah, but it's,
the anger level per fan was higher in New York. How about that?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, well, that's a resting state too. But yeah.
Also true.
Yeah. But
like I was at the first series and the A's played the Astros. Like there was a lot of booing in the first couple innings. And then it kind of just,
it gets lame after a while. It's just like focus on the game.
Yeah. I think you just like, you get it all out. We didn't get it out last year. I get it. I get why nobody likes them. You know, but I think you got the booing out the first two at bats. I think it kind of like after that, I'm like, let's move on.
I think it's because some of the other players were so unrepentant. That's why. That's
for
why.
Sure. I think Bregman and Altuve are the two that like, and Correa, like I get that, but like, you know, nobody's booing Yordan Alvarez or Kyle Tucker. Right.
Right. Well, yeah, probably not. Or Brantley, you know. Springer got his share, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah. So it's gonna be fun. I can't wait for the playoffs, though. It's gonna be fun.
Me too. I love the playoffs. I obviously like it more when the A's or our Reds are in it. But I love the A. I like the DS series the most. You get the four games. I love when you get like the back to back four games in a row. I like it when there's four series going on. I really like the DS rounds.
One of my favorite days of the sports year is next Monday.
They're playing like game one and game two is the other one. So there are four games in a row.
Oh, no. Well, not that. No, a week from Monday, because it's often like a game five. You get like two or three game fives and Monday Night Football. It's just a lot to watch.
Your Bengals playing good football right now.
Yeah, pretty good.
It might have to be Jacksonville.
I don't know about that was good football, but I'll take it.
You know, if you're going to have a horrible first half, though, at least you come up and answer the bell in the second half. It might have, after today's games, might have to be our Bengals, because I'm not sure our 49ers are doing much right now.
They're confusing.
They're very confusing.
I mean, they're hurt again, but that's everybody so hurt.
They're really hurt, though. But do you play any – last question before we get out of here. Do you play any postseason fantasy baseball?
Not typically, no.
I'm going to play the NFBC game. They have that one hold'em game where you have to kind of – it's fun. You have to pick who wins the series.
I do that. I've done that before.
And you get multipliers based on if you pick the they play in one round and they win, you have them in your lineup the next round. They get multiplied, so you have to pick – you pretty much have to pick all the series, right, because you get like three guys where you get one guy against the other team. So It's a fun little challenge and competition. I'll probably throw one team in there just for some rooting interest and some side fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll talk to Greg and Tom tomorrow and we'll figure out what's going on with that. Maybe I'll get into that.
Yeah, I know it is up and running. I haven't looked how many teams are in there yet, but I'm sure they will. It doesn't count the wild card games. They wait until you have to know those because obviously you don't want to pick a bunch of players from those teams they lose. So
right. It
starts on Thursday with the ALDS. So they have a couple days to kind of market that and pump it, let everybody finish their regular season. Everybody's kind of honing in on that. So we get everybody to spend all their winnings over on the new game here.
Friday will be awesome. All four games going.
That's the day I love. I love when there's four straight games. It's fun.
Yeah.
Feels like an NCAA tournament kind of day, which is great. So
exactly.
Anything else? First of all, I want to say thanks, everybody, for listening all season long. Thanks to Jeff and everybody at RotoWire for letting me do this all season long. I do really appreciate that. Obviously, Jeff works there. I am just someone they allow to be on the shows on Sunday night, so I really appreciate that. Appreciate everybody for listening. There was a lot of we talked a little bit on Twitter today. I was like, my season sucked, all this kind of stuff, and there were a ton of comments about how much people liked the podcast, how much people got out of the podcast, and they helped them. So I do really appreciate that. It means a lot. We put a lot of work into doing this, but it's also a lot of fun too. So there's a lot of prep and stuff that goes into it. We kind of talk that, every Sunday night we're like, oh my gosh, we're tired, we got to do this. And then like 5 minutes in, we're having a good time and enjoying it. So I want to, thanks to you, thanks to RotoWire, thanks to everybody for listening.
Yeah, well, thank you. I mean, because you always do the organizational work, you kind of select the topics and kind of I just pull the string and let me talk. It's beautiful. I thoroughly enjoy doing this. And guys, we appreciate all the support we get, especially because it's from our peers. We so many of our friends in this industry and so many, either in the community or in the NFBC that listen to us and, give great feedback. And of course, have been guests on our shows, too. We really appreciate that. I'm ready for 2022. I'm excited about that, but I'm also excited to have a little bit of a break from this, but just because there's a lot going on in life, but very excited to do this another year. And I'm sure we'll be back again. We'll probably do some sort of podcast. I'm guessing unscheduled sometime this fall in reaction to big news or whatever. And then James Anderson's going to be doing weekly pods. I'm going to do starting in January, I'm going to do a preview series, team by team. Try to get 30 different guests. So that should be a lot of fun too.
Beautiful. I think we'll be back on weekly kind of in like mid-February, something like that. Is when we start?
Something like that.
Yeah, cool. Well, thanks everybody for listening. We thank our sponsor, WinBet, for their sponsorship all season long. Other than that, hope everybody has hope every season turned out well. Hope everybody enjoys watching the playoffs. Hopefully your team does well, all that kind of stuff. Other than that, thanks again for listening. We'll be back at you in 2022. Take care.